Go to golftech.com and check out our proven path to proven results.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. That's fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Very happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl here in Berea by Jim Corbett from the USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at @byJimCorbett. And Jim, obviously the big story, quarterback decision. Brian Hoyer is the starter. I know you got to write an article about him and spend time with him. What was your thoughts on the decision and how things are going to play out for the Browns at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't Joe Montana and Steve Young. And the idea is that these guys had to make a decision. I know Mike Pettine had set that date, that timetable. And it's, you know, to me, I think Brian was the clear-cut winner in the sense of overall body of work, as Vic had said in the story he wrote. And when you go back and base it on last week's practice, I could see it in the no huddle. I'd asked Mike Pettine alone. I said, truly, on week one, is Johnny ready to set all the protections, make audibles, do everything needed to be the week one starter? And he said no. Can he get there? Yes. But, you know, we saw it again Monday night. He's a street ball player still, and maybe it's a little bit of a too complex jump in that offense. The verbiage and all that needs to be scaled back, but he's clearly not there yet, and he's finding out that he doesn't have that ability to, that escape ability that he had in college that we thought would be such an X factor for him. So right. I think with the run game, the way it's going, it's going to draw the eighth man in the box. And I think ultimately Brian, who is that anticipatory thrower, finally settles in, gets his rhythm, and does hit the perimeter shots. So I think they're better served with Brian. And we see how it plays out. And certainly Mike didn't reduce the heat on him. He said it's Brian's job. But all starters know they've got to run scared. They've got to produce. And I think we will see Brian settle in. And he's got that chip. He's from the University of Brady. He learned well from Tom. And I think the idea is that, you know, Tom always had that slight of being the 199th pick. And I think Brian's, you know, somewhere undrafted out of Michigan State and will be a guy, I think, who will finally respond. You could see it yesterday in his body language.
Totally.
He's taking a breath, and I think he knows he's going to settle in. He said, hey, even, you know, he said to me alone that my wife, when she texted me, yeah, I'm sorry, I was a pain in the ass. I've been kind of, you know, besides myself, a little unnerved by the whole stuff. And I think he's finally, you know, just relaxing into it.
Jim Corbett, USA Today, joining us here. Jim, the presence of national media, pretty commonplace through this entire summer. And we know why. And it's not Brian Hoyer. It's the reason is Johnny Manziel and you and so many others nationally who have been here multiple days. I know you cover other teams. I know you write about the league, but you have been almost exclusively a Browns writer for much of this summer. And my question to you is, and I know I'm not going to give you the tremendous task of speaking for all the national media, but, and having lived in that world many years myself with NFL.com, are people disappointed because in the national perspective? Because it seems to me that everywhere you turned, it was the foregone conclusion that Manziel would be the guy. That was the wishful thinking and the hope. Now that this decision has come down and he is not the starter, is there some disappointment nationally that this story has, if it hasn't come to an end, and I'll never say that, it's at least hit a bit of a roadblock?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think some people just had that expectation, and Brian admitted it. He said some people wanted me to fail, and, you know, that's going to drive him further. But the idea is that, you know, when we see it, we look at how Jacksonville handled Blake Bortles,
right,
and he's really risen. And the way Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley approached that, I thought was great, because I talked to Blake, and he said, hey, they took all the stress away from me. All I have to do is go out and get better every day. And you saw a huge jump from him, from June when he was fluttering balls to now where people are calling for him to be the starter, which Hanny has responded to, and it was never a competition. So I think that was a good way to do it. This one was more heated. Certainly it was close, we think, but the idea is when you look at the overall body of work, it is the guy who was there, only took
5 days off coming back from his rehab. And I've got to give Brian the fact that he was rusty, finally seeing live bodies as well. So I do think a lot of people anticipated Johnny and still do, but we know he's got a long way to go yet, a long way to climb in that playbook. And what if Johnny had really worked those 5-6 weeks when he was off, and that's what Blake Bortles did? That's what we know every other quarterback does. Would he have won? Probably, and that's his own disappointment.
Right, the door was wide open, and I think ultimately this could end up being a good lesson for Johnny Manziel, because he couldn't beat out a journeyman quarterback who did not have a good camp coming off of an ACL surgery, didn't really impress in the preseason games, and yet Johnny Manziel still couldn't beat him out. So hopefully he can learn from that and realize what it takes to be a professional in this league as a quarterback. The other big story around the Browns, Josh Gordon. What's going on? Why is this still going on? And what do you think the ultimate outcome is for Josh Gordon and the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that it's dragged out this long. There's going to be some kind of settlement at some point. And you would think, you would hope that that would be the case. Why else would it take this long? That there's got to be some kind of negotiation going on, or some kind of, well, let's try and do this. I just hope for him, for the kid. We've seen what happened with Justin Blackmon, where his career is virtually over, it seems, in Jacksonville. He's a persona non grata. You hope that there's something where this kid can have a support system in place. We know he's troubled. Everybody here has kind of stepped up. He's been in rehab. He's done some good things here. And you can see he's checked out mentally. We saw that the other night with the two drops. I think he's had at least three that I've, you know, seen the games.
Sure.
And I just think it's unfair to the Browns organization that it's dragged out this far. They need clarity, and you would hope it comes this week.
And there was a lot of that discussion about how he played or didn't play Monday night, that he really looked so disengaged and like he'd have rather been anywhere else but FedEx Field. And that bothered a lot of people, a lot of analysts. I heard Bill Polian talk about this, among others, who said that the guy shouldn't be on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of that, especially when you're playing that way, and what he looks at is this, almost the safety factor. If your head's half into it, a football field's a bad place to be.
That's
especially when
point.
You're on the receiving end of those hits. So just your thoughts there, that because Mike Pettine called him out too, and I just found that whole dynamic very interesting and something I couldn't ignore.
Yeah, and the Browns are having to play it both ways. The idea is that if it is 8 games, they need this guy to some degree to be in tune with his quarterbacks, but by the same token, you're taking reps away from guys who could be developing here.
Yeah.
So I think it hurts them every which way, but that's a great point. I mean, the fact that you're on a football field without your head in the game, you're risking major injury. And if it was only going to be 8 games, then what if he tore his ACL or worse? And so it's a cruel dilemma that I think needs resolution. I think, you know, probably tomorrow we hear that would be the day. It's the usual day is a Friday. It didn't happen last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it would lead me to believe that there is something going on where they're going to, you know, at least try and bargain it down from the year-long suspension.
Other than the quarterbacks and Josh, what's the biggest storyline in your mind for this team as it enters 2014?
You know, I think the offense as a whole, it's new. I mean, obviously that's one reason Brian struggled too. I mean, Kyle Shanahan coming here, what can he do for Brian now that he is the quarterback? What he's done for the run game, that certainly has looked potent, and we know it's going to be a good defensive team. We see much improvement. Paul Kruger, obviously Mingo, Justin Gilbert, you know, showed some flashes the other night, and I obviously think that Whitner and Dansby have really been great additions.
Yep.
Up the middle of this defense. Now you just want to see the offensive line settle in. I think they're doing a really good job in the run game. The zone scheme fits this group, very athletic. I just think you just need somebody to show up in the passing game. I mean, we've seen checkdowns mostly, and it's not been a downfield passing game. So somehow, some way, they're going to have to get a rhythm, create that. It's got to be a hurry-up urgency, and they got to do that. Kyle might have to scale back the playbook and just do something to get them going, because we're seeing it with Eli Manning and the Giants. Those guys have had 3 games now, and they have yet to score a first-team offensive touchdown.
You watch this defense, and you know we've talked about it on this show. We spent a lot of time opening this show just in terms of how strong it could potentially be. Are you sold that there is enough in the way of not just the starters performing well, but the depth, that you see a guy like Jabal Sheard and Phil Taylor, who have been starters the past 3 years, they're backups now,
that you could
see the impact of this defense possibly being as good as a top five, or some have said even a top three?
You're right, Vic. They're very deep, and maybe that's their playing card ultimately if they look to get stronger at receiver when the suspension comes down for Josh. That's where they're strong. But you always wonder, you know, when you make that trade, or, you know, do you hurt yourself, and is that where you end up having injury? So I think that is a strength of this team, and the flexibility that they now have to put a Taylor inside or outside, have some flexibility. And when you see a guy like Kirksey, Dan's be telling me that he reminds me of a young me. I mean, that guy is really, I mean, the linebacking group is
good,
really,
compliment.
Really good. And yeah, and Dansby's re-energized by being a leader here, and mm-hmm. Whitner, we see what he's doing out there. So yeah, you're right, and I love the depth of corner as well. So I think that is going to be their strength. They may have to win games, you know, 20-17, and you know, hope that they can make enough plays that way for the time being. But the fact that they have two division games in their first three, that's going to be tone setting and telling for how this team really does.
No question. And it will also be tone setting and telling for how the Mike Pettine era will be. It's hard to remember, actually, that he hasn't even coached a game in the NFL yet. It seems like he's been through so much already as a head coach. Talking with him, what are your impressions about how he's done in this early portion on the job?
I thought he's handled everything very well. I just question the Monday night decision to alternate series, every other series, with the quarterbacks. I thought that really hurt them, contributed to the lack of rhythm. I understand it in the sense that he was trying to put pressure on them, but I thought that was a rookie head coach. I think if he took it back and looked at it and analyzed it again, he wouldn't do that. Talking to John Gruden on Sunday, he said that's very difficult, and you really just want to create an offensive spark. The whole idea of the preseason, get the kinks out, get going, get some confidence, and I think that was counterproductive.
Yeah, I think that might have indicated the level of inexperience there. I just think that was a sign, maybe a first sign of the quote rookie mistake, because I think for everybody involved, it was a very uncomfortable, awkward situation. Not just the two quarterbacks. I think the whole offense probably found it a little unnerving because, again, linemen, they work as a group, as a unit. You have certain thoughts embedded in your head about one quarterback that you're protecting for versus another. I know the offense is the offense, but tendencies, and you can't, there's no way you can get in rhythm or in sync. And look at the passes and the way it worked out with a Jordan Cameron who had, I know, stuff thrown behind him, and then at one point it looked like to his feet. It just didn't have a good look to it all the way around.
Yeah, and it started off badly with a bad snap from Alex, I believe, from the beginning, and it just got in a deeper hole.
There was a motion problem, that, like a timing problem, when they started the tight end motion, I think, by Cameron, and then he went over, and then everybody was set off, and it looked like Mitchell Schwartz just, okay, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Are they going to throw a flag? And then next thing you know, he gave up a sack.
It was a chain reaction thing. And, you know, certainly
chain reaction.
What they need to get going is just simplify. Let's get, even if it's no huddle, get that 2-minute up-tempo, get Brian back in rhythm, and we'll see it. I mean, he said it's going to come. He has no doubt. It's just about getting these practice repetitions now finally with the group. And he's still finding young receivers here that he's having, you know, little or no experience with, mm-hmm. as much as he's been on the field. So I think that's where this game will be crucial for him. And just get him in, get him out, and we'll see whatever Johnny can do and excite the crowd in his debut. Hopefully he plays better and gets his head more in the playbook.
It's a team that's going to be carried by defense, Jim. How good can this team be? What's your kind of projection for the Browns in 2014?
You know, it's hard to see them being an 8-8 team right now, certainly coming off the preseason with the quarterback situation right now, but they have that kind of talent. I mean, it's clear that would be great progress. If Mike Pettine could extract that from this team, they would be on the upswing. And you'd have to tell me who the quarterback is going to be at the end of the season, and is Johnny Manziel getting better? Because as John Madden told me, hey, it's not a matter of is Johnny going to play this year, it's when.
Great stuff. Yep. Kevin, thank you. We appreciate it. Kevin, Jim, I'm thinking of my other buddy, Kevin Corbett from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jim Corbett of USA Today joins us here. Check out his great work there if you're not already a regular reader of USA Today. Are you going to be around right through game? You're sticking through to the game and everything?
Sticking through the game.
You're going to start paying taxes in the state, my friend. You've been pretty much a virtual resident here, but we love it. All right, and we'll have you on again. Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura and guys. Cleveland Browns Daily, you're welcome.
Thank you. Driven by
Liberty 4, 216-578-0850. Call us up, tweet us at Browns_Daily. Stick around.